This podcast is given to you by Arloka David Smith, teacher and founder of the Dharma Mind Buddhist Group. For more information, please go to dharmamind.net.
But whether you choose to follow it, that's usually up to you. I mean, if you're living in a community, then obviously you've got to follow the form, and because you affect other people. But in terms of your own sort of personal practice, we do precepts that as guidelines if you need them in the first place. Because a lot of this is just sort of basic ethical aspirations that most adults, hopefully, you would understand yourself anyway, and then it's just about refining them. But it is more subtle than that. But there are, as I say, there are plenty of guidelines there. But at the end of the day, if you want to ignore them, then that's up to you. I mean, it is a bit different if you are ordained, that there's a commitment there of following a particular form, and if you transgress in some way, there are consequences, minor ones. Well, it depends on what the thing is. There are different levels of penance of admitting your digression, and paying some cost for it, something personal. But like I say, I mean, the principle of Dharma practice, by all means we need guidelines, but this isn't about finger waving. If you make mistakes, if you decide not to ignore things and do things your way, well, as we all say, all actions have got consequences, and it will be there for you somewhere along the line that you will pick up the consequences of your actions, and that's entirely so. Therefore, you've just got that free will. You decide which way you want to go. And it's very much the spirit of what we do, that it's not, we don't stand over each other and wag fingers, because it's for you to find your way, it's for you to understand yourself and learn to see the wisdom of the guidelines that we're given, and it isn't about control and power. They may well turn into that. Some people may abuse these things and turn them into power, which happens, but that's the human condition. People, this is inevitable. Things go wrong. But, you're given a very open, free, fair forum with this. You come at your own free will. Nobody makes you come. And I don't know where these... what you were saying comes from. I think there's just something inside of you that brings you here. You ask questions. You have issues. You want answers to questions. And you find your way. If Buddhism is a thing for you, if you find that it resonates for you, then you find your way somewhere, someplace where. You hopefully, you're hoping that these things can be resolved. So you come at your own free will, and the door's always open. You go off, and if you don't want to come back next week, the next meeting, whatever, then hopefully nobody chases you. You go and you come as you decide that you want to do. And like I say, that I mean, this is one of the, you know, one of the principles of this, that if you do decide, like in this group, if you do decide to go, you know, you could be around it for some time, and you decide that you've had enough, it wouldn't be my job to chase you. I wouldn't come knocking on your door, phone you up, because it's entirely your commitment. I mean, what I might do is inquire, you know, if you're okay, if your health is all right, you're not got sick or whatever. But if people want to move on, I can't go and grab them by the shoulder and say, no, you must. Because that's not the spirit of what we do. It is a very free and a very open spirit and attitude that we foster, that we take on, and hopefully it's there in all schools, all traditions, all groups, hopefully. So there's no threats or anything. Although I do hear about things sometimes that if you don't come to my group, well, not this one, I'm talking about this group, if you come to my group anymore, you'll create bad karma for yourself and you'll end up here and there, and all sorts of things will happen to you. Well, I don't know where that comes from, but that's just rubbish. That is absolutely appalling if anybody does that. So you come under threat, or you go to a meeting under threat. You know, I mean, that's may be what some practices do. Some religions, maybe they go along those lines. But I mean, if anyone does that in Buddhism, they've seriously got it wrong somewhere, because it's simply not done in those terms. And in many ways, so it's really down to you to keep the thing going. By all means, you get support and guidance, and hopefully people are there to help you, but you've got to keep it going. And, you know, all others can do is just remind you. You know, for example, this is a commitment. This isn't a hobby that we do. If you want the change that you clearly want, because you wouldn't be coming here in the first place, especially with this group, because most of you have to travel great distances. You're coming here because obviously you want something, which is fair enough. Hopefully, you know, you also give something back. You give something to the group. But you do come here because, you know, you've got stuff within you that you would like to get to the bottom of, and you would like to sort out. And that's, you know, we've all got those. We've all got these things within us. And it's all here for you to come and partake of. But at any time you decide you don't want any more, you don't want it, or even if you want to turn it into a part-time activity, turn it when you want, you get away with it. You get away with it in this group anyway. And I just remember my Zen group, you couldn't even do that, actually. If you missed three meetings, you were out, or at least you had to go and justify yourself, just give whatever reason. I mean, to me, that was... I don't know where that comes from. But, you know, you basically come and go as you please. But at the same time, hopefully you are reminded, and I remind you, that, you know, if you are serious about this, this is not a part-time engagement. You can't just turn it on and off whenever you choose, whenever you feel like engaging with things, and expect things to change. Because we are dealing with very deep, very entrenched forces within us, karmic forces, stuff that we've actually accumulated for ourselves. So we can't blame anybody else. That will always not be wanting us to be doing this. We'll always be saying, "No, you don't bother this weekend. Don't go to the meeting. Go and, I don't know, go and do something else that you want to do on the weekend and don't go. We've all got those. I mean, I could be off somewhere today quite easily. And most of you probably could find something to do on the weekend after your week's work. You could find something that's appealing to you to do. And that temptation is always there. And there'll always be a little monkey inside of you saying, oh, come on. You know, and that's what you're dealing with. And then you have a choice. Then you choose to follow the monkey or to say, no, I'm going to keep this, I'm going to keep the commitment. I'm going to keep as best I can, long as circumstances allow me. I'm going to keep my nose on the grindstone with this, because unless I do, the changes that I would like, the reason why I'm doing this in the first place, they're not going to happen. They won't happen. Sorry. You can't have it your way, you know? You can't just come and go when you feel like it and expect. Well, you can do. You can come and go, and the door's always open. You come and you go, and that's fine if that's what you want to do. But don't expect things to change. If you just want to indulge in your habits, you know, this is called having your cake and eat it. You can't do that with the Dharma. We're dealing with forces. You know, this is not a nice open door that you walk through when you take this on, and you just casually sort of swan in and just walk into it and just keep walking. There are things that are just not allowing you to open the door, that pulling the door in your face. And once you get through the door, they're trying to push you back again. And we've all got those, and that's what we do. That's why you're here in the first place. That's the basis of your unsatisfactoriness, is that you're not in control of your life. You're not in the state that you would like to be, the spaciousness and freedom and that we all desire. You're not in that place because we have all of these forces that are determined just to keep you in your box and keep you now down. And then life becomes not very pleasant, and that's why you come here, to find out why. What can I do about it? Well, you can do something about it. You can sit around and complain about it and do nothing, as a lot do, or you can say, you can rise to the challenge. Because unless you rise to it and are prepared to step across the line and engage with these forces, with the stuff that we've all got, then nothing will change. You'd be like it for the rest of your life, and probably complaining all the way, and also probably compounding it and becoming even more restricted and more, well, unhappy. Life will be more unsatisfactory as you get older. Your choice. That's the thing about humans. We got self-consciousness. And what self-consciousness gives us, unlike animals, cats and dogs, we've got choice. We can say yes, we can say no. Dogs and cats can't do that. Animals can't do that. They just follow their instincts and they do whatever they're told to do. They just follow. They don't stand there and make choices. We have that opportunity that makes us unique. So you can decide to go left or right. You can say yes or no. And it's entirely your choice. But your choice has got consequences. All actions have consequences. Whether they're positive or whether they're negative, whatever. There's a whole spectrum of karmic reactions to things. But you fundamentally have a choice. You have a choice. And that's why you can't blame other people. because you've got a choice. We've all got choices. All humans have got a choice. And, you know, of course, for some people it's easier than others. Some have got circumstances where, you know, they would argue that they don't have choice with what they do in their lives, you know. But we've at least found a degree of freedom where we can stand back and look at this our reality and say, well, I want to do something about it, and I'm going to do something about it. And you've exercised that human quality, that, you know, it's the jewel in the crown that sets us apart from all other creatures. You've actually made use of that jewel. You've looked at yourself with that jewel, that self-awareness, and decided, I don't want to do this. I want to sort this out. It's not right. And if you don't get to that point, you don't do things like this. You don't embark upon Dharma training or other disciplines that are around, plenty of them around. This isn't unique to what we do. But you looked at yourself, you don't like what you see, and you want to change, so therefore you act upon it. But when you act upon it, you know, that's only the beginning. That's just taking the first step. It's then once you've said, yes, I'm going to do this, then it's only the beginning. Then the challenge really starts. Because all of those forces, those things that give us that sense of unsatisfactoriness that we want to do something about in the first place, they don't just go away. They're still sitting there and they're still acting upon you. And they're still pulling you, they're still keeping you in your box. And that's what we're dealing with. That's what we're looking at. This is what we're waking up to and seeing. But that is a continuum. Because you've made a decision to do this, don't think that that's like all you've got to do. It's that willingness to bring that consistency of practice. And that's all I've ever spoken about over the years, because it's the most important consideration that you have to take when you look at yourself and you see that, and you're not, and you see the unsatisfactoriness that you carry. That if you want to go beyond that, you've got to bring a consistency to yourself, and you decide that you are going to stay with it. Nobody's wagging their finger at you. Nobody can make you do it. As I say, the door's always open. And in many ways, it's much more difficult. So many of us like to be told what to do. Life is a lot easier for us when we don't have to make decisions. But you're in that place there where, so there's no finger wagging, but there's guidelines, there's help, there's advice to help you stay with it, to keep that consistency going, because that's the key, that's the secret. But if you say no, you're not going to have that consistency. Nobody's going to knock on your door. I'm not going to do that. None of my business. Why you don't go to meetings? I don't know. I'm sure it's not unique, but it's very much the spirit of this type of training that we do. This thing called Buddhism. That permeates all schools. There's a spirit there that. You have this free will, this option of deciding for yourself what you want to do, and I think that's very difficult. Much easier, like if you join the army, you don't have to think about anything. You're just told what to do, and you do it, whether you like it or not. You just get on with it. Well, this ain't the army. And that's an easy option, actually. However difficult it may be, you get on with it because you don't have an option. But here you've got lots of options. You've got lots of freedom and lots of, you know, decisions to be and choices to make with this training and how much you want to commit yourself to it. And that commitment, you know, that commitment permeates through the whole of your life. It isn't just simply about turning up here, for example, once a month, or turning up at your local group once a week and saying, well, you know, that's my commitment. Okay, yeah, of course, that's a very, you know, essential part of your commitment, but also there's commitment in your daily life. Because we got free, because we got self-awareness and we got this free will, we have choices in our life. Cats and dogs don't have choices. We've got choices, and when we get up in the morning, we've got choices, usually, and it's certainly for us people, us Westerners, because this is one of the features of affluence, of being a part of a material world, of having, as what the material world gives us, is it gives us a freedom to make choices. When you're poor, living in a poor country, for example, and you're living from day to day, you don't have choices. You have to pull the basics together on a daily basis, and there are no, you don't have options. You just get up and find the next meal and do whatever it takes to get the next meal and feed your family. Choices? There are no choices. And this is the height of your aspiration is to feed yourself on a daily basis. You know, this is called poverty. And you know, the spiritual path is very much, poverty and the spiritual path go hand in hand. And traditionally, and you look back over time, you know, in the East, people didn't have what we had. They didn't have choices. You go and you take what's in front of you and you get on with it. And that absolutely harmonizes with your spiritual aspirations. And that's why, you know, poverty is a great support of the spiritual path. And when you come in, like us people, because we're extremely wealthy, we have money in our pockets. Money buys us freedom, in inverted commas. Money buys us choices. We can choose what to do. And you know, you're very often dealing with a part of you that doesn't want to do this. Because we so often, that there's a part of us that wants to take the easiest line of resistance. Whatever's the most comfortable, whatever we fancy on a daily basis, we run after these things. And the discipline and the simplicity can so easily get lost. Oh, but I still turn up for my meetings every week. I'm committed. But it's more subtle than that. And the more choices, this is why, you know, I was saying, make your life simple. That's not done for, there's a very concrete reason for doing that. Because it helps you to stay with yourself, to be with yourself, not follow your desires, run after your desires, and get lost in what that brings to you. That you start running this way and just get consumed by sitting and choosing and picking and choosing all the time, always finding the best thing for me, and avoiding anything that's a little bit challenging, anything that's a little bit uncomfortable, anything that I don't sort of fancy or I don't quite like. I'll throw it away and I'll get something that, oh, I much prefer this. I'll throw that away. avoiding being with those parts of yourself that just don't want to be still, that don't want to just accept things that are in front of you, which is the ideal scenario for Dharma practice, because then you get to know yourself. When you're ducking and diving and going with choice, you're actually avoiding yourself. And it's very, very subtle, even on a daily basis, with things that you might think are not particularly important. But actually, if you look, if you stop and you really observe those things, see those things, just see that you're always looking that there's somewhere in there that you're avoiding yourself. You're trying to make life as pleasant as you possibly can for you, and anything that just becomes a little bit uncomfortable, you avoid, because you have the option, you have the choice. You can avoid. You can avoid. You say, oh, I don't want to, oh, no, I feel a bit, oh, no, I'll... And you look at your life on a daily basis. That's why, you know, if you are a poor person and you are living from day to day, you don't have choices. Then everything is cleared away, and you're just with yourself, and you have to deal with whatever the universe puts in front of you, without picking and choosing, without making it what I want. Then you come up against yourself. Then you're with yourself. Then you can get to see and get to know. Get all the clutter out of the way. And for us material beings, us people in the West, this is a part of our challenge. It isn't just about, oh, I do my meditation every day, therefore that's I'm on the path, and you know, mm-hmm. I'm doing everything right. It's more than that. You have to see yourself and know yourself in all circumstances, all situations, and just look. Am I just steering a nice, comfortable path? And when you steer a nice, comfortable path, what you're saying is there. When you do that, what you're saying is that you're avoiding yourself. You're avoiding bits that you don't like. And the bits you don't like is what impinges upon me. Well, that's where those bits that impinge there, that's where you get to know yourself. When you're having a nice, lovely, swimmy time, just going along with all of your choices, there's no practice there. Where's the practice? You're just indulging. And it's there. That temptation is there all the time with us. You know, we have to be very, very careful there, and to remind ourselves that, you know, this train, we all want change. We want the change. We've got to be very skillful in how we conduct ourselves and how we take ourselves along this path. And that simplicity is, as I say, the simplicity, which is one of the key features, is not there for nothing. I mean, you didn't have to tell people in the past to live a simple life, because they had no choice but to live a simple life. They didn't have choices. To manage to get through from one day to the next was great. You were a great achiever. And you lived in a simple place, and you lived, and when it got cold, you put a jumper on or whatever, or you got cold and you learned to live with the cold. Because what else could you do? You didn't have fuel for the fire, you couldn't have a warm place to live in. And the same when the heat came. You just learned to live with it. You put up with it. You stayed with it. You bore with this thing. You with all of these things that are not life-threatening, but are uncomfortable, and you'd rather not experience it, which is fair enough. Of course you don't. You're not a masochist. But at the same time, you're prepared to, well, this is the way it is. I'll stay with it and be with myself and just accept that this is the way that it is. And be with yourself and get to know yourself. There you have the environment. That's the dharmic environment. You're with yourself, and you're with your circumstances, not picking and choosing, not creating a world where it gives you maximum comfort, where you can avoid things. And when you avoid things, you're avoiding yourself. And that's the great massive challenge for us Western people. And it's, you can say, well, that's what I'm going to do. You know, I've got money, I've got choices. Why should I be uncomfortable? Well, yeah, exactly. Why should you be? But you have to be careful and bear it in mind. You know, do you really have to have all these things, stacking up all these things just to keep protecting yourself all the time? Or can you just... And if you choose to live a simple life, you will be confronted by challenges, whether it be food or warmth or just your general comfort or whatever, and just being with circumstances, which is what poor people have to put up with. This is the choice thing, choice, and it's a great danger. It's a great mara. It is a massive mara. Choice is a mara. We love it. We love it because we can have that comfort. But if you want the Dharma, the Dharma isn't about making yourself comfortable. It isn't about avoiding things that you don't like. It's about accepting and bearing with and staying with. And when you bear with, you get to know yourself. And you can see why you have a problem, why you can't just stay with whatever it is. Why do you have to keep avoiding? Why do you have to keep chopping and changing all the time? See that. See it. And you make, you know, choices means that nobody's wagging their finger at you, are they? You must do this. You mustn't eat this. You mustn't do this. You mustn't. Nobody's doing this. You've got the free will there. You've got that. You're making use of that jewel of self-awareness where it gives you choices. Well, pick skillfully if you're going to be a Dharma practitioner, if you want to get to know yourself and if you want the change. Well, you do want the change, but if you want that change to take place, you be very skillful with your choices. Because there's that monkey inside of us all the time that works in a very, very, very subtle way, sometimes in a very crude way, but often in a very, very subtle way. It's always just getting you to just avoid yourself. You're just slipping and sliding this way and that way, and as soon as you start to come up against, oops, and then you slip this way and slip that way, you buy yourself out of a situation. Well, you do that, okay, that's what we do. We like the easiest line of resistance. It's, some people would say it's natural. Okay, but don't expect Dharma change. Dharmic change, if you're gonna, you know, make that your norm. If you're just gonna live your life in that way. And this is where, you know, I would doubt this thing called, what did you call it? What was the word you used?
Obedience.
That's easy, actually. It's easy to be obedient because you're not taking responsibility for yourself, are you? You're giving yourself over to somebody else. You tell me what to do, so you don't have to take any responsibility to yourself, for yourself whatsoever. It's always you. You take responsibility for me. So you negate all of that. When you do this training, you take responsibility for yourself. And not just a little bit, not just in some areas, in your totality. With your thoughts, your words and your deeds, you own everything that you do, all your actions, everything you own. Don't dump that on somebody else. And it's not me, it's this one and that one. I'm only doing because I've been told what to do. This is not what I'd want to do, but I've been told what to do. That's not Dharma. It may be the way things work in the world, then there has to be discipline and form, and you know, that's the way a lot of things get done in the world, is people have to negate themselves. You know? But with what we do, we have to be very careful about that and take responsibility for everything. And if you decide, you know, to walk out the door or not come back next week, well, you take responsibility for that. That's okay, that's what you want to do. But that's your responsibility. And what you do has consequences. And you have to go around with your eyes wide open. And we all duck and dive. We all do questionable things. Well, okay, well, that's what you want to do. Do these things, but have your eyes wide open when you're doing it. Don't deceive yourself. Have your eyes wide open. See that you're swinging the lead, that you are avoiding and I think I say, all the things that we do maybe on a daily basis. Okay, we'll do that, but have your eyes wide open and know what you're doing, why you're doing these things. And in a dharmic sense, know the consequences dharmically. That you know, this is not the skillful way, this is not the ideal way. Okay. But you know, try to be more skillful. And when you do that, you know, this is, then it means you have to be disciplined. And it then means that you have to say the most difficult word, which is no. Yes is so easy. Yes is the easiest word in the world to use when you've got choice. Yes, 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 yes. But when you've got choice, no. Can you say no to the choices? But that's what you have to learn to do so often with this training, so that you just stay with yourself, you're not pandering to these forces, the restlessness of hopping and jumping around all the time, but keeping yourself steady, keeping yourself focused, keeping yourself with yourself. And the less choice that you give yourself in your life, the more likely you are to be able to pull that off. You learn to say no. It's not to be distracted by things, because they're distractions, they're taking you this way. No, just stay focused. And when you stay focused, you bring that simplicity, you bring the stillness, and the mind goes still and goes quiet. and the thing opens up for you, then you can begin to see and to begin to know. It's not going to work when you have a lot of clutter, and clutter comes from choice and following your habits. So this, you know, this is all part of the commitment. Commitment means more than just turning up. Commitment means more than just sitting down on your cushion once a day. Of course, that's a part of it. But because you go to your cushion every day, don't think, and when you get off your cushion, think, well, that's it till tomorrow. I'm committed. I'm a committed practitioner. I sit on my cushion every day. Therefore, I sit every day, therefore I am committed. Yes, I'm a committed. Darwin, did you know that? I'm a committed Dharma practitioner, because I meditate every day. And you think, well, you're doing the business, and then you go off into, you know, the other 23 hours of your day, you go off into that, and do you see that as part of your commitment or not? On what constitutes commitment in the rest of your day? What constitutes commitment to the practice? Do you get to know yourself? What constitutes that thing called commitment? Do you really? And it's very subtle, and it's ongoing all the time. It's live and it's active and it's dynamic, and it's with you every day, in situation after situation during your day, continually there. Look for what does it mean to be committed in this situation? Because what does commitment mean? Commitment means to know yourself, to be with yourself, to be alive to yourself. When you walk, know you're walking. When you sit, know you're sitting. When you stand, know you're standing. When you're lying down, know you're lying down. You get to that point, then you're committed. And if you're not there, look, why when I walk down the road, do I not know that I'm walking down the road? Look there and see what's going on with yourself. What's pulling you around, what's taking you away from just being here, from being here present, here and now. And you see the way these countless distractions that are there. Have these distractions fallen out of the sky? No, you've created those. You've done things there that you've nurtured these things, and you've made them a part of your world, part of this notion of a person, and it sits there. And these bits that come up to you, these bits don't just drop out of the sky. They come from your actions. They come from your past, from what you've indulged in the past, what you've engaged with in the past, and they will come, and they will be continually pulling you all over. So when you walk down the road, you don't know you're walking down the road, but if you want change, you need to know when you walk down the road that you are walking down the road. There you're on the cusp of change, where things are beginning to shift and fall away, so that you're not the victim anymore that you used to be, that life becomes more fulfilling, that you're not a partial little being experiencing this existential unsatisfactoriness. You create your own unsatisfactoriness because of all the myriad things that you've run and chased and accumulated. And the idea is to let them go, let them go, let them go, let them go. Say no to them. No, 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 no. When they come up, no, no. You say no, you let them go. Then you come in. Then you know you're walking down the road. That's all. Nowhere else to go. And so therefore, in order to be able to fulfill that being able to be with yourself, whether you stand, sit, walk, or lying down, you have to look at all of your distractions, all the choices that you indulge in on a daily basis, hopping around this one, oh, I don't want this, I want that, I don't want that. All the time, let them go. Keep it simple. Say no to things. And when you say no, the thing will open, will take care of itself. But that's commitment. Not the sitting on the cushion once a day, going to your meetings. That's your commitment. That's what the word commitment means. So it's not a hobby, it's not a part-time thing that you indulge in the morning, when you get up in the morning, where you just, and that's it. That's part-time. If you want change, that's not enough. You need to bring it and feel yourself being challenged by your training on a daily basis. Feel like you're pulling on the reins. You're just holding, not in an aggressive way, not in a overt way, but just feel like, you know, you're beginning to contain something that's just pleased itself in the past. Now you're just bringing, and you just, as much as you can, stay with what's in front of you, whatever it may be. Just stay, just bring yourself back and stay there. And you feel this, that frustration that can build within you because you're not indulging in your choices of running this way, running that way. Then these things fall off if you do that. And when they fall off, this is where your freedom, your liberation, this is awakening. And you have to decide if you want to do it or not. Nobody can wave their finger at you. Nobody can tell you, this is what you do. You have to see that, see the picture, and know how it all works, how it all fits together. and you say, right, I'm going to do this. I'm going to embark upon this, not be chasing things, let things go, come back, stay with what's in front of me. This indulging in choices of picking and choosing all the time. You begin to turn the whole thing around, turn the habit of a lifetime around, because you want to do it. Because you know that's the path of liberation. You know that if I bring this to my life, I want to be free. I'm fed up with the way things are. I don't like it. I really want change. And this is the way of change. This is how change is going to take place. So therefore you do it because you want to do it. And that's the only way it's ever going to work. Nobody can stand over you. Nobody can make you. Nobody can wave. We don't have commandments. They can't work. You have commandments for others, other things. Having commandments and waving your finger is not going to work. And that's why this is very difficult. Because when you get up in the morning, you can please yourself. You wouldn't do that if you were in the army. You just get up and do whatever you do when you get up in the morning. Here you've got a choice. From the moment you wake up in the morning, you can duck and dive from the off. That's why it's very difficult. Because those forces that have been in play, and that little monkey that doesn't want you to know yourself when you're walking down the road, that monkey doesn't, because when you're walking down the road, and you know you're walking down the road, that monkey doesn't exist. Literally does not exist. That monkey is so seriously threatened by that prospect that it will always be getting you to chase things. That's the C word. That's the commitment. So I think it's very important that you do, you know, and this is why it's so important with this training to always be reviewed. Never get complacent with this. Just, oh, I sit every day, I go to the meetings, well, that's it. that's all I need to do. You need to be ever vigilant, ever vigilant with yourself. And know yourself, see yourself. You don't have to make judgments there. You don't have to start beating yourself up. You don't have to draw opinions with what you see, but know yourself like a mirror. That's the quality. Know yourself. And at times you know that, you know, this. I need to look at this. I can see what I'm doing here. I can see why I'm doing these things, why I'm always in this restlessness, I was running here and there. Review yourself continually. Don't make a problem of it. Don't start beating yourself up because you see things you don't like. But unless you wake up to yourself and see the things and know why it is the way that it is, then you're not going to change. Then you're not going to let them go. You're not going to know why you're holding on to things. What's the reason behind all of this? Unless you get to see them and get to know them and say, ah, right, okay. See what this is about. Okay, well, I'm just going to declutch from that now. I'm not going to let myself get carried away by that. And you do that out of wisdom. Not this, but, I can see. This is another brick in the wall here. Not the whole wall, there's a little brick here. I can see that little brick there. And when I put all those bricks together, I completely encase myself. And life is the way that it is. That's why I've got this sense of unsatisfactoriness. This is why life is not the way that how I think it should be. That's why, because look at that little monkey there. That never noticed that before. not such a big deal. Okay, well, I'll pull away from that one. But you're not going to do. You're only going to do that with awareness to see it, that mirror quality that we've got. You see it, and when you see it, you can then action on it if you wish. So you've got a choice. You indulge, carry on, or you can say no, and you can. It's only a little thing, and you can pull it off, and then there'll be another one, and another one, and another one. And actually, I'm of the mind actually that we're only a collection of little bricks. I don't believe these big bricks that we think that we've got. I think those big things that we carry are a collection of lots and lots of little things, actually. I think if you take care of the little things, the big things take care of themselves. So you don't have to be dealing with these things that you feel are too big for you. Well, they are too big for you. But don't think you're a failure because you can't contain them. You're just a victim of these big things in your life. You look at the little things, which you can deal with. You can wake up and you can see, because they're not really that threatening to you. You can see them. You deal with those and you see what happens to the big things. And that's the self-awareness that we need. You need that clarity, that stillness, the silence. You need that in order to see the subtleties of what you've created for yourself. And in order to have that and to nurture that ever more is that we have to let go of all of this terrible mara of choice that we have that absolutely takes us away from who we really are. But you do that because you want to do it. Nobody can make you do it, nobody can tell you to do it. But what you can do is that you can see it and say, well, this is why I do the training. And just check yourself on a, literally on a daily basis, and just see and note. Never be complacent. Never beat yourself up, but be aware and see, and never fall into that comfort zone that beckons us all the time. So we can just avoid. And when you get in the comfort zone, what you're doing is you're avoiding yourself. Wake up to that. And if you avoid yourself, then you're never going to know yourself. And if you don't know yourself, nothing's going to change. So we need to see the spirit of what we're doing. The spirit of coming here, of sitting every day, of going to your group, of keeping that form. See the spirit of it. Not see it as a compulsion, as something that you've got to do. But see it as a part of actually something, a much, much bigger picture. That's only the framework, the structure that sits around. It's all the stuff that's inside of that structure that you need to wake up to, be alive to, and not think that it doesn't matter. All that matters is this bit, and this matters, and the thing, and they're not two. This and the out, these bits are not separate from each other. So when you take care of that, give attention to and take more care of these small things, the fruit of that will come into your meditation, come into your commitment. That will then help you to clarify even more. It's all one. There are not two things here. But it's the spirit. Do you want to do it or don't you want to do it? Do you want a hobby? Do you want to pass the time away between other things that you want to do? Fill the void and feel like you're being productive in your life so you don't feel bad about yourself? Or do you want to see that commitment requires the whole of myself, the whole of me, in all situations, in order for it to go beyond this part-time mentality that so many of us have? You want the change? Well, there's a price to pay. You're not giving this on a plate. There's a price to pay if you want change. And that price is giving up, is surrendering, is renunciation. And what you're giving up are these myriad things that we have that we hold on to. And when you give those up, you will see. You will be free. There will be a clarity and you will see. Then you'll be free. That's why we do it. So enough for you today.